The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Tuesday morning. We are brought to you by Green Ventures Landscaping. Get thicker grass, better color, and fewer bare spots with turf application. Visit greenventureslandscaping.com. The Nashville Predators, last night, Joe, eliminated from playoff contention. They lose 3-2 to the San Jose Sharks, and the LA Kings taken down the Seattle Kraken last night, which means the Predators are out. They will miss out on the playoffs, and the field is set in both the West and the East. Now, all the matchups are not set, but the teams have been set in the West and the East. So the Predators, obviously a very disappointing night last night. Joe, they just really, you know, for I'd say 50 minutes, 53 minutes, somewhere around there, like they got nothing going offensively, and they looked a little disjointed. They had a couple of chances earlier in the game where they just either missed the net on or just didn't quite get enough of it. Nedeljkovic for San Jose made some big saves in the game when he had to, but he didn't have to all that much. It was a disappointing game offensively for the Predators, and I mean, frankly, they weren't all that great defensively either. I mean, Onen, the first goal that Onen gave up wasn't very good. It's probably one he would like back. He also made, I don't know, four or five saves before that that were pretty high quality that kept the Predators in it for a while. You know, the first period, I thought the Predators were awful. Like, they were all over the place. They couldn't get anything going in the offensive zone. They were mishandling the puck. They were giving up odd man rushes. They, you know, just weren't covering anybody. Like, it was a bad start to the game. But they got through it. Nothing after one. It was like, okay, well, maybe the nerves got to them or whatever it is, and you could settle in here in the second period and be better. And they just never really got there last night, Joe. And it's, you know, look, obviously on the surface itself, missing the playoffs and getting this close is disappointing. I think it's more disappointing when you factor in, for the most part, how well they've played over the last few weeks, and to go out with nowhere near your best last night, I think is a tough pill to swallow for that team.
Yeah, it's really surprising. You were talking about it yesterday on the show. Like, you add everything up, and you kind of expect them to pounce on them. They'd hammered them last couple times. They obviously have dominated the Sharks. Multiple people have brought up today that Vingan jinxed them, apparently, by
maybe so
mentioning. I think
everybody mentioned it, didn't they?
I'd love to blame him. I really would. But, yeah, I think we've talked about that streak about a million times. I mean, this isn't like a no-hitter, guys. Like, you know, like, it's just one of those things you talk about. You should have played better. And it's, I don't know, hockey is, I mean, you know better than I do. It's weird how sometimes it's like a few shifts can go a certain way, and then it's like it takes you like a intermission to like get it back together. You know what I mean? Like the territorial.
I almost thought they were too focused, if that makes any sense. Like yesterday at the morning skate, and a couple of people who cover them on a daily basis, we were talking about it after the game, like, or after the skate. Like, you know, you've been to morning skates, Joe. You know what it's like. Like, you walk in, and like, even morning skates in the playoffs, a lot of times it's relatively light in there, right? Like, it's, you know, it's laid back. They're not always like, you know, yucking it up or anything, but you know, it's pretty laid back. I was dead quiet in there yesterday, and there was like, you know, just a, you could feel an intensity to it, right? And you know, I wondered at the time, I was like, well, you know, this could be either a really good thing and they're just totally locked in, or I could be bad. And I don't want to oversimplify it and say it just comes down to that, but I don't know. It just felt like the whole day, and I think it played out that way in the first period, that it almost felt like they were, you know, too locked in, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it's interesting because I can think back to you go back to like the 2017 run where you're at every single morning skate, every single everything. And I feel like there are a lot of those morning skates where just screwing around almost, yeah. You know, it's like a team trying to make a run to the cup. But that's also, I don't know, that's kind of strange to me, given one thing you could definitely always say about this team is that they have veterans who have been through a lot of stuff. You got multiple cup winners on this team who are still playing at a very high level. And I guess, you know, you kind of expect stuff like that to be what it should be. But sometimes, you know, it's human nature to get amped up. It's human nature. It's one of the great things about hockey, too, the whole gripping the stick too tightly. I mean, that's a thing, man, you know. And the teams that can find that balance of, like, intensity, but also not being overly intense, I guess, or just overly worried about making a mistake, things like that, are the teams that win the high-pressure games. But this team has just won so many of them recently to even get to this point.
Well, one thing we didn't mention a ton earlier, so they're down 1-0 in the game. It's in the third period, and there was an icing call that I just did not understand. And basically the puck comes into the zone and Nedeljkovic reaches out his paddle and he touches it. Now, honestly, I need to go back and find it, because at the time I was so focused on the idea of the goalie touching the puck and them blowing the whistle for icing. And then I was looking at the reaction, everybody, like Burnett was going nuts on the bench. Stamkos was in the ear of the officials all night long. And I mean, all night long. I mean, he was giving it to him all night long. Like, O'Reilly was going crazy. Forsberg was going crazy. And Nedeljkovic touched the puck, and they blew the whistle for icing. The faceoff goes all the way down to the Preds' D zone. They actually got out of the D zone, and then Barron, just a brutal turnover. And it led to the odd man rush the other way, and Celebrini scored from the slot. And that's when it got to 2-0, and it felt like it was over at that point. So I asked Brunette after the game about like the explanation he got on the icing call, and he said that the officials told him they thought the puck crossed the goal line before the goalie touched it, which if it did, that would be icing. I just need to go back and look and see if that actually happened, because it didn't look like it did to me in real time, but I haven't really seen a replay of it. But a lot of people very upset, including the entire Predators bench, on that icing call last night.
Yeah. Well, and things like that are going to happen, and you know, you got a soft goal. I mean, it's still, I don't know. I still feel like I think Brunette did the right thing going with Onanen over Saros. I don't think that's like the point of second guessing. I thought there was some interesting conversation after our show yesterday about from Max Herz Next Man Up about, you know, the possibility of just like not having Saros play. You know, this guy who's, you know, the big picture things that you think about, right? But I think that was, you know, the right thing. I guess we'll see Saros in the finale, right?
That would be my guess.
Probably makes sense to do it. But yeah, like Jeff says, like it is, I get it. It's like the whole, he's like, guys, Olsen's on the line. The coach says the team just couldn't get in their game quick enough. Yeah, I understand the frustration. Let's also remember, like, they're not that good. You know, yeah. Like the margin for error also like is not large and never has been for this team.
Oh, and frankly, like sometimes I think we read too much into what coaches and players say after things like this. Like, right. I don't know that they necessarily have, I don't think they've got a good explanation as to why they didn't play well last night. Like, I think some of it is exactly what I've said. I think that they were way too, it's almost like you can be too hyper-focused. Like, I think they were. Like, I think early in the game, you had a combination of guys, in some cases, trying to do too much, where you had shooting lanes available and you tried to make that one extra pass and all of a sudden it's turned over, right? Like it's going the other way. So rather than creating a chance on a shot, you're trying to make the perfect play and it ends up getting no play out of it. Like I think there was a lot of that and it just kind of felt like, I don't know, it felt like, you know, Forsberg, I thought in the first half of the game, like he had a couple opportunities to pull the trigger and he just didn't do it, right? Like and Stamkos, you know, had a couple of good looks late in the game that just missed. Like he went high on one and then he got set up for a one-timer at the end of the power play and he fanned on the shot, which, I mean, you just don't see him do very often. So it was just a combination of things that they were just off last night.
And maybe the explanation is what Ryan O'Reilly said, which is that just that he's garbage. Maybe it's just that simple. You know, Ryan O'Reilly taking the entire blame at the end of a season in which I would say probably one of the really impressive individual seasons in the league this year, given like what he's done in every facet of the game and his second best offensive season of his career.
So the Predators are eliminated from postseason contention. They will close out the regular season on Thursday against Anaheim. And then the attention shifts fully to the next general manager. What's the next general manager going to do? What is the plan of action whenever whoever they hire gets named and comes into the job? What do you think the plan should be for the next general manager? We'll take your thoughts on that. 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I got some tickets to give away, a pair of tickets to Team Boxing League as the Nashville Smash fakes the Phoenix Fury at Municipal Auditorium coming up this Friday night. Caller number two at 615-737-1025 will win a pair of tickets coming up at Municipal Auditorium this Friday night. Caller number two at 615-737-1025. Preds lose last night. They are eliminated from playoff contention. And now the eyes move to the future, and the immediate future is, what are they going to do at general manager? That is the next step for the Nashville Predators. They have to hire a general manager, and then we're going to see what that general manager's plan is when it comes to the roster. What is that general manager's plan when it comes to the coaching staff and Andrew Burnett? And we'll take your thoughts on all that in the meantime at 615-737-1025. Chip from Mount Juliet says this. Says, my take, the new GM should be announced soon. Says, fire Burnett and staff, bring in coaching candidates, hire the coach. Number two, evaluate and clean house of Preds management staff. Number three, begin player evals. Marchessault needs to be the first one to go. And number four, trade Ryan O'Reilly if big offers come in, as well as other tenured players that are willing to waive no trade clauses. The approach of this general manager, Joe, is going to be really interesting here. I think particularly if it goes the way I think it will go, and the way that most Predators fans hope it goes, and that is you're going outside the organization and bringing in some fresh eyes to this thing. Whether that's an assistant GM on a current team or a GM that has experience in the league that is kind of a retread. We'll see which way they go. I you're looking at this roster, and I think it's interesting from a couple of different standpoints. Number one, they do have a deep prospect pool that, as we've talked extensively about, is probably missing, unless Brady Martin's this guy, is probably missing that top of the top, cream of the crop prospect that really sends it into kind of that next level. But you do have a lot of promising up-and-coming players that are at your disposal if you're this new general manager. In the meantime, you have O'Reilly and Stamkos and Forsberg and Yossi and Marchessault and Shea and all these guys that are in their 30s that, to their credit, I think, you know, a lot of those guys pulled the rope and got you back to this point and made it interesting down the stretch, but also aren't getting any younger. And at some point here in the not too distant future, and I'm talking about, you know, next year, you're going to have to start seeing some of these guys, if they're going to be here, downshift in the lineup, right? Like, you know, we've talked about that with O'Reilly for a while. I don't know if they've got anybody that's ready to step up into that role right now. But, I mean, look, you know, Stamkos isn't getting any younger. Marchessault's not getting any younger. And you're going to have to start filling some spots with some of those guys. So the next general manager has some decisions to make in terms of, you know, forget long-term. Obviously, long-term, they've got decisions to make. But as soon as next year, like, what do you want to be next year? Like, what's your plan for how you want to approach next season? And that's everything from the coach, from the construction of your roster. Is it more beneficial to basically keep doing what they're doing, and that is have the veteran players kind of carry the load as your young players gradually come up? Or does the next GM look at it and say, you know what, it's time to thrust some of these younger guys into bigger roles with this team and either move on from some of these veteran guys or downshift them in the lineup? That part of it's very fascinating to me in terms of the immediacy of it, of what this next GM thinks they're going to be next year.
Yeah. Well, and I think really, like, some of the answer about next year might just come down to O'Reilly, right? As I just mentioned, you know, tremendous season. If he's on this team next year, like, there's a certain, like, the floor is, like, it's not going to be that low, right? Like, if you have these, generally this core of veterans, like you said, yeah, you want them to downshift, although I don't know how next year that immediately happens. But, like, that's obviously, I mean, when Barry Trotz signed Ryan O'Reilly, he talked about, certainly he would have downshifted by now, right?
Yeah, but, that was 4 years ago.
Right.
Well, it will have been 4 years ago next year.
Yeah, but again, he also just had his second best season, which I guess maybe to him still means he's only had one good season in the NHL. Yeah. But, but like, if you move him, then I don't think you can, you know, if the new GM finds a deal that's like he can't refuse, I don't see how the Preds aren't bad next year, right? And maybe it's worthwhile.
Maybe. I think people have got to get the term full rebuild out of their head. Because number one, I don't think it's happening. And number two, like, when your prospect pool is as deep as theirs is, you've already started in some ways the rebuild. So it's not going to be a full rebuild. Like,
want it to be.
You know? Yeah, like, you don't really – at this point, like, I understand what people are saying. They want the younger guys in the lineup. But that's not a full rebuild. That's the next phase of the rebuild that's already started. So we got to clarify that. Like, we got to eliminate full rebuild from the lexicon. Like, we're already past that at this point.
So, yeah. So for next year, though, like, if O'Reilly's on this team and he has a season like this, like, I think the floor is probably flirting with the playoffs, right? I mean, I think, again, I'm also projecting, like, Stamkos here and having another really productive season. Does he build on this? We don't know who the coach is. There's a lot of questions. But certainly they could be a team. And the thing is, that will piss off some people that they are flirting with the playoffs if that's how it goes and they don't move O'Reilly. But, like, it's actually, like, again, they are in the process of bringing these guys up. At some point, you're going to be really young, and you're going to have a lot of cap space, and then that's when you try to supplement with the young guys. But next year, now, if you move O'Reilly, then I think they're, you know, I mean, I think, like, down the middle, like, what are they doing?
Well, tell me what flirting with the playoffs means next year, because to me, there's two guys right now that if they're on the team next year, I think people totally shift their mindset as to what flirting with the playoffs mean. If they flirt, like this year, they just flirted with the playoffs, and it was O'Reilly and Forsberg and Stamkos and all those guys leading the way. Joe, if they have the exact same season next year, let's say they have the exact same year, but Matthew Wood is in the top six the whole year, and Brady Martin makes the team out of camp and plays the whole year with the Predators next year.
Mm-hmm.
People are going to view it totally differently. Like, it'll be totally different in the way people view it.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And I think the first of those is,
it's going to happen.
I think is likely. And the second of those, I don't know, but certainly that would be a big deal. And again, then you're going to get to the point with some of these guys. It's like, okay, so how, you know, as we go, like, how good are we talking about? Did they finally have guys who are, like, going to be more than just, yeah, they can play in the league guys, you know?
Right.
Are they difference makers? And then you're going to age out with some of these other guys. And again, you're going to – the new GM is going to hopefully be in a position with a really good young core and now the ability to go out and supplement and maybe make some big deals that, you know, that totally change the look of the team. And have to go through years of being terrible for this to happen.
I said it earlier in the show. I think moving Jonathan Marchessault needs to be a priority for the next GM. I do. Like, it just hasn't worked. And, you know, we're 2 years in at this point, and he's not getting any younger, and it just hasn't been a good fit. And I think a big part of that is the Predators just haven't had the center depth that they've needed. Now, you know, they went through a stretch where in the last part of the year, Marchessault played better when he was on a line with Forsberg and Matthew Wood. But I just think, you know, people asked about the contract earlier. Would the Predators have to retain salary on Marchessault? Maybe, but I also think that there's a chance. I mean, the salary is not that bad. I mean, you're talking over $5 million, but it's the, you know, the cap's going up. It's just, and he's a guy that I do think if you're a team around the league, you look at your center situation and you say, well, we feel way better about our center situation than Nashville felt about theirs. And I just think he'd be a better fit elsewhere. So maybe not. Like maybe you would be able to move him. You're not going to get a ton for him. But maybe you were able to move on from the contract and he ends up somewhere else and is a better fit somewhere else with a team that's stronger down the middle. Like that would be, and I know he's got a no move. He made that very clear. But that would be a conversation that I'd be having pretty quickly if I'm the next general manager coming in.
Yeah. No, 100%. Texas says, I highly doubt they're hiring a GM to come in and break it down to the studs. They're going to hire someone to retool it to compete, but it must be an outside hire. Must use the ridiculous amount of picks to go get young NHL-ready players. Otherwise, the Trotz moves were pointless. Someone also asked earlier, Robbie, like, did Trotz leave this? You know, are the Preds better off now than when Trotz came in? I would still argue yes. Like, if Brady Martin is going to work out, if Brady Martin is going to be what they hope, I mean, the prospect pool, as we've talked about, is top five. So I think overall, yes, even though it's been a disappointment on the ice.
Yeah, it depends on how you view it. Like, the prospect pool is unquestionably in a better spot. Like, it's not arguable. It's in a better spot than it was when Barry Trotz took over. Now, from a pure results standpoint, Joe, they're basically exactly where they've been for going on 7 years at this point, which is right there either in the middle or last year being the exception where they're at the bottom of the league, right? So that is ultimately what people are growing frustrated with, which I understand. And what's going to have to change here moving forward?
Yeah. Now, there's another comment I want. I think there's an interesting question I want to get to on the text line.
We will do that coming up next. Take more of your thoughts on the Predators and the task in front of the next general manager now that we know that there will be no playoffs for the second year in a row for the Nashville Predators. More coming up. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 102.5 The Game. Today, the Nashville Sounds take on Worcester Red Sox at First Horizon Park. First pitch at 6:35. Catch all the action on Sports Talk 830 presented by Family Leisure and Social Cantina. Taking your thoughts on the Nashville Predators at 615-737-1025, our phone number. By the way, Smashville Live tonight, the final Smashville Live of the season. We're going to be out live at Brewhouse South at Cool Springs at 6 o'clock. Tonight will be Fedor Svechkov and Joachim Kimmel that will be the guest. Smashville Live presented by Gary Force Acura. So last Smashville Live of the season coming up tonight, and Preds will close out the regular season tomorrow taking on the Anaheim Ducks. A lot of your thoughts on the text line in terms of the general manager and what they should do coming into all this. One texter, Joe, says they should go after Austin Matthews. Says he's rumored to want out Toronto. Got the cap space. Just go do it. We had Jim Diamond on the show a few weeks ago. He has been consistent on this plan. Like, he is hell-bent on the Predators offer-sheeting Jason Robertson this offseason from Dallas.
I don't hate it.
I don't hate it either. Why not?
Hey.
I'm going to doubt the Austin Matthews things come to fruition. But, I mean, in all seriousness, like, the star situation with Robertson is interesting because they just have, like, no cap space. So
yeah.
You're going to figure it out. You can figure it out if you're them, but it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, stick it to them at the very least. This is an interesting thought, which I think is a big picture philosophical thing, but he says Brady Martin, he or she says, Brady Martin has to be on the roster all season next year. The days of Nashville leaving their top 15 picks in juniors of the AHL for 4 or 5 years needs to end immediately with the new GM. Overcooking is a thing of the past. It's a younger league now, and seemingly past Poiles and Trotz's way of thinking up. One quick thing I would throw on that is I think, again, people are not remembering that a lot of these picks everybody was screaming for just weren't that good. That's the only thing it's an interesting thing about the league now and overcooking. I mean, I tend to kind of agree with Trotz's way of thinking in general on that, but one thing to remember is, like, if you're going back and saying the Preds should have brought in this guy or that guy, go back through the guys who they should have brought up earlier. They just didn't pan out. They weren't as good as everybody hoped they would be, which is part of why this team is where it is.
Yeah, partly so. And by the way, I mean, Matthew Wood just basically played the entire season for him. So there is that,
There
right?
is that.
So, I mean, you know, I think it depends on the guy. He played the entire season for him. Brady Martin made the hockey team out of camp. So Brady Martin was not ready to play in the NHL this year. Now, is Brady Martin going to be ready to play in the NHL next year? I hope so, right? Like, you're talking about a top five pick, and hopefully there's some physical growth that's taken place and his game has matured over the last year, and then you're good to go there. But I don't know. Like, I'm not sitting here today acting like it's a guarantee that Brady Martin's going to be on the team next year. I think so. Like, I think that would be good if he was, but I don't know that that's going to be the case. Look, Brady Martin's is his own thing. Like, that's a huge question heading into next year. Here's some bigger questions for you, or at least as big to me, in the short term, like just purely next year of it all. Like, is Kimmel ready to be a full-time NHL player? Because quite frankly, I've not seen a whole lot at the NHL level yet. Now, did LaRue in any way take a meaningful step forward over the last few weeks? It's been a pretty bad year for Svechkov, right? Let's call it what it is. Like, he's been pretty bad this year. So that part's concerning. Is Tanner Molendijk, after, you know, an up and down year in Milwaukee, is he ready to be on the team next year? Like, there's a lot beyond Brady Martin that, you know, to differing degrees, you need to start to see it with some of these guys. And I thought Barry Trotz said something interesting a few weeks ago after they signed Svechkov and LaRue to new deals. They got a lot of prospects. They got a ton of prospects, as we know, and they got more draft picks coming up. And the bottom line is, there's only so many contracts you get to hand out in an organization. Not everybody's going to get one. So, like, to me, it's time to start looking at some of these prospects that have been around for a minute, and it's time to, you know what, or get off the pot, man. Like, it's time to go next year.
Yeah, well, that's, I mean, and that's the thing about having the prospects, the picks they do, is like, you know, you can change things out. And maybe that's something that is coming with the new GM. Someone on the text line also talking about, like, all the scouts, you know. And again, that's just a really interesting thing when it comes to, I think there's some good people working in this organization right now. The idea of, like, just totally clean house, I don't think that'll happen. I don't think it should happen, but you got to be able to identify who's good and who needs to be replaced. Not easy.
No, it's not easy. And then there's the other part of this, Joe. What does all this mean for Andrew Brunet, right? Like, that's probably the most immediate part of this, is whenever they hire this new general manager. And I don't know if that's going to – I mean, look, they've been interviewing people for a while now at this point, right? I would assume that the entire point, Joe, of getting a head start on the interview process was to go ahead and find somebody. So my guess is, my hope is, that they've got somebody here in like the next week or the next couple of weeks.
You would think.
They don't necessarily have to, but to me, that's kind of the whole point of starting when they started, right? Is to go ahead and be the first one into all this. So I'm hoping that over the course of the next week or two here, that they've got somebody named. And then, Joe, pretty quickly after that, you're going to have to make a decision on Andrew Brunet as to whether or not he's going to be your head coach next year.
Right. Yeah, I'm with you. You would hope that it's just ready, just about locked and loaded and ready to go here and get moving on, again, all these things. Brunet, the evaluation of the organization and everybody in personnel and what you're doing, who needs to stay, who needs to go, what you're changing. And so you're totally, you know, ready for the draft. I mean, that's and then obviously start getting into all the different possibilities with other GMs about some of your veterans and some of the deals that you can make. There's a lot to be done. So yeah, all this time you would hope has been used productively.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, I don't know what it's going to look like with Brunet. Conventional wisdom tells me in this league, when you bring in a new general manager, and particularly when you bring in a new general manager of a team that didn't make the playoffs, that typically does not bode well for the head coach in place, right? Like, that just typically doesn't. Now, you'd have to tell me who they hire at general manager and kind of what their background is, and do they have any familiarity at all with Andrew Brunet, or is it somebody who's never even been associated with Andrew Brunet? Like, there's a lot of things about, like, the hire of the general manager that's important there. You know, if it's one of these guys, Joe, that's been a general manager before, that has extensive experience in the league, they probably know a lot of coaches. So that probably makes it more likely that Brunette's gone at that point. Like, there's so much about, like, who specifically they hire, I think, that factors into this. And we mentioned it earlier with Brunette. Like, Brunette, I think when you break down his tenure here, it's three pretty different years that all have one common theme to it, right? Like, I think his first year, they overachieved. They got in the playoffs. He was a Jack Adams finalist for Coach of the Year. His second year, there were all these expectations heading into it, and they fell flat on their face. And this year, it looked like they were going to fall flat on their face again. They salvaged it and got themselves back to playing meaningful hockey in the last week of the regular season and came up just short. The common link in all of them is they've started the season each year horribly. Like, even the year they made the playoffs, they got off to a bad start. I don't remember exactly what their record was, but I want to say it was something like 6-11-2 or something like that. It's like, so they've gotten off to pretty horrific starts every year under Andrew Brunette. And that, you know, at some point, if you're going to keep him, that has to change. But I also think you got to look at that if you're the next GM.
Yeah, for sure. Saros also has been a slow starter, but that wasn't that has been, you know, so obviously you can look at those things to some extent as hand in hand, but that doesn't explain all of it. And yeah, like, I think Brunette, I think the way this season went, which is basically he's coaching and turning things around after a lot of coaches would have been fired in a lot of places, but he definitely, I think helped himself in some way with that, with the way that they rebounded, the way they stuck together, got better, you know, started playing better in November, but then stuck even after the trading deadline, losing some, you know, some key role players and making this push. It helps him, I suppose, potentially with the new GM. But yeah, it's just still hard for me to believe that a new GM doesn't have someone in mind. I mean, Trotz came in and really kind of left it up in the air that John Hines might keep the job. I mean, he was kind of in limbo for a while, then hires Brunette eventually. And Brunette was obviously a guy who he had back in, you know, long ago as a player and all that. Like, everybody has people, right? It's just, you would assume whoever's coming in here would have a short list of possible coaches. And for as well as Brunette, I think, acquitted himself this year, turning it around, I don't know that there's anything you'd look at and say, well, we just have to keep that coach.
One texter says, how did the scouting department miss Wyatt Johnston and pick Fedor Svechkov? Well, Wyatt Johnston went 23rd overall. If you redrafted it today, Wyatt Johnston would probably go number one in that draft.
So a lot of people missed.
Lot of people missed on Wyatt Johnston. I mean, sometimes that happens. I mean, it's no different than
Robertson is another guy.
Robertson's another guy, but I mean, look, and we've talked about this example before, but I mean, Nikita Kucherov was drafted in 58th overall in 2011. I think Mika Salamaki got taken a few spots above Nikita Kucherov, and you could blast the Predators for that, and that's fine. But then you have to turn around and blast everybody else, including, by the way, the Tampa Bay Lightning, who took other people before Nikita Kucherov in that draft. They just got lucky that they ended up picking him at 58th overall. So, yeah. Like, I think with those guys, it's easy to look back at how it's gone so far, but that's part of what makes drafting 17- and 18-year-olds such a crapshoot.
Yes. You just want to be – you need to be right sometimes and lucky sometimes, and with forwards, they just haven't been.
They have not. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Final segment of the day coming up next. A lot more of your thoughts to get to on the Preds. We'll continue that discussion. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Final segment of the day, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game, live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Preds fall last night to San Jose. They are eliminated from postseason contention, and one more game on Thursday, and then it is into the offseason for the Nashville Predators as they are set to hire a new general manager, and then we'll see what that means for Andrew Brunette and the coaching staff as well. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Mike in Lebanon says, I feel bad for Bruno because I don't think Trotz gave him the right players. One texter says, we'll see how Hagans goes moving forward. That's probably the most anybody can really second guess when it comes to the draft pick. Is Brady Martin versus James Hagans. That will certainly be the one I think people look at most closely over the next little bit here, Joe, is so you're talking, a top five pick in Brady Martin. Hagans was on the board. You had the chance to take him and you didn't. So what are the, how do those two compare moving forward? I mean, Martone off to a good start in his NHL career with Philly.
Yep.
He's a winger, so it's not the same.
Right.
So you got to keep that in mind. But all those guys that kind of got picked right around there, I think will be matched up together and compared.
Absolutely. Yeah, and look, if Martin doesn't become at least a really strong number two center, productive, consistent player at that level, then that's a huge disappointment. I mean, some of those guys are going to be productive NHL players, without question. Like you said, you probably need to look at it from the lens of a team that is so light down the middle that had to address that part of the team, as opposed to comparing to a Martone who, has done some pretty special stuff right away already with the Flyers.
Yeah.
But I'll be really surprised based on everything, including the most recent evaluation of people, if Martin isn't that. I think he'll be that. You still also that doesn't solve all your problems. I mean, someone earlier texted like, "Well, they need to get a Celebrini." And it's like when are they ever in position? I'm like, "Well, they were in position last year, but there was no Celebrini." One, and two, they, the lottery didn't treat them well. So it's so hard to get that level of player. But can you get, if Brady Martin is what they hope, can you have, a few of those at different spots in your top six?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, by the way, people have asked about this. The Predators, I believe, right now technically are 11th from the bottom in the NHL. They are only a point behind New Jersey. So if they win, they'll pass New Jersey on, assuming New Jersey loses their next game, they could pass New Jersey coming up in their next game. So right now you would be 11th if the lottery was just straight up. The maximum you can move up is 10 spots. So only the bottom 11 teams are eligible to win the first overall pick. So that means if they move up out of 11th to 12th with a win, let's say they win Thursday and New Jersey loses and they get it to 12th, then they have no chance to win the top pick at that point. So I'm sure I know what Predators fans will be rooting for coming up on Thursday. Just so play without goalie.
It's time for a one-game tank.
Yep.
The one-game tank.
Joe, I at one point last night had talked myself into the Predators were going to win, Anaheim was going to lose, and it was going to be Predators-Anaheim winning your in for tomorrow, but the Predators had to win the game in regulation. So I talked myself into tie game in the third period with like 5 minutes left, and Bruno's got to pull the goalie because they have to get it they have to win before getting it into overtime. I was fully Ooh. Talked into it. Never got there.
That could have been fun.
Could have been.
Could have been fun. A lot of things could have been fun.
That's right.
But they did not end up fun.
Going to be a long off season. We will be around to discuss it all. We'll take your thoughts on the Predators all day long here on 102.5 The Game. Next Man Up with Jake Lyman is coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Get the best quality paints from Dutch Boy for all your projects at Menards. MaxBond Plus exterior paint and primer in one is designed to stand strong against extreme weather. It provides max adhesion, hide, and performance, and repels rain in just 90 minutes after application. And with Dutch Boy's high-performing paints that last, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards today and get your paint project started. Save